Amen. Good morning. Hey, my name is Kate, and I'm one of the chaplains here, and I, along with everybody who is a part of this community, want to welcome all of the juniors who are visiting today. We are excited that you are checking us out, and we would love to have you be a part of our community. And I'm so glad you're here today, because it's so good to hear from students. And today is one of our days where we have a senior witness, one of our senior students who is here speaking. Salome Emmanuel. And Salome, I got to say something before we start. Before you've even spoken, you have managed to do something that the chaplains really haven't even ever managed to do, and you haven't even spoken yet. Do you know what that is? No? You've managed to get the runners who usually sit in the back to sit in the front. I mean, that is like the runners in the front. I know your spot's usually back there. So welcome. We are glad. Look at you're already moving and shaking things here. So we are excited to hear from Salome this morning. Would you join with me in praying for Salome before we hear? God, we do bless you with our whole being and our whole soul. And we ask that you will come and bless us now with a word from your daughter, Salome. God, thank you for speaking to her. And now, Holy Spirit, may you speak through her. God of comfort and peace, God of truth, speak to us now. We pray this all through Christ. Amen. Please join me in welcoming Salome.
I do not want to be here right now, and I'm sure that it's very clear that I'm totally tweaking out. Not only do I hate public speaking, but I'm not the most articulate with words, and I don't like talking about my feelings either, so this is the worst place I can find myself. I remember at the end of last semester getting an email from Kate asking about being a senior witness. I thought it was a mass email to seniors, so I didn't even read it. I just pitied the fool who'd be stuck up here. Shortly afterwards, Kate contacted me again asking why I hadn't responded. After the shock, I quickly said thanks, but no thanks. But obviously I'm up here right now, and it's because I fell for a trap. Kate told me to just come to the first meeting, it's gonna be pretty low key, and then she mentioned that breakfast would be provided. I'm ashamed to say that I was low on groceries that week, and that's the only reason I went. I got a free breakfast and a bagel take home for lunch, but not before Kate and Paul basically told me I had no way of getting out of this. So here I am now, and I'm freaking out, and you guys are stuck listening to me. And if this ends up being really bad, I told you so to the chaplains. So here we go. Who am I? As Kate introduced, my name is Salome Emmanuel. Salome, Salome, either one works. I've heard a lot of creative variations by this time. But I did think I'd clear up before I graduate that my parents did not name me for a lunch meet. As much as it gets butchered, I do like my name because it gives a little peek into my family and the way I was raised. My family's from Ethiopia, and names and the meaning behind them is very important. My dad, for example, grew up in a Muslim family. His name was Abdullah, and this means slave of Allah. When he became a Christian, he changed it to Emmanuel. He wanted the meaning God with us to be a promise that he constantly remembered. And Ethiopians take their dad's first name for their last name, and that is how I ended up as Salome Emmanuel. And Salome comes from the Hebrew word shalom, so my name means peace God with us. Having parents that are missionaries meant that I grew up moving around a bit, from Sweden to Florida, Nigeria, and then Wheaton, Illinois. It's been a blessing growing up in a family strongly rooted in Christ and living in all these places. Through the experiences I've had and the people I've met, I am confident that no matter who you are or where you are, God is God, and he is for us and with us. And there is definitely a peace in that promise. But although I am very sure about this, I have reflected a lot and realized that my life does not match up with what I believe. I gave Paul and Kate a lot of excuses why I didn't want to be up here. But more than just being scared of all you guys, I felt like a hypocrite. Who am I to be up here preaching when I know how much I have been struggling with my own faith, especially recently? So please know that I am humbled to be here, and the things I share are things that I am working on and challenging in my own life. One thing that I've been trying to work on is to gain some wisdom. I seriously lack it, and there's a passage in James that says that God will give it to us if we ask, and he will do so without finding fault in us. But although I am asking, I don't seem to be getting any wisdom. And what is wisdom? I heard a sermon a while back that described it in a way that said it is putting the knowledge you know into action. The first thing that this made me think of was running, and that's not a surprise considering how much time I've been doing it. Almost every day for the last 4 years, I've been either doing cross country in the fall or track in the spring, and then training all summer to start up again. It has been a huge part of my life here at Hope, and I will really miss it. But I have learned a lot from it, and there's a lot in it that parallels to my life and my faith. So bear with me as I talk about what I've learned through 5 running connections. First, this whole idea of wisdom being knowledge into action. As a runner, this makes perfect sense to me. You can get all the knowledge you want. You can read blogs, magazines, there's movies, inspirational quotes. It's all good stuff, and it can help strengthen you. But alone, it doesn't do any good. Who cares how much I know at the end? Just knowing how the human body works is not going to help me win a race. Knowledge by itself is worthless. To become a great runner, you must go run. And to be a Christian, you must go follow Christ. We gain a lot of knowledge here at church and in Scripture. And the knowledge that I gain is very important, but what good is it alone? The book of James also talks about being doers of the word and not hearers only, because if we just listen, we're deceiving ourselves. Knowledge alone is empty. To be worth anything, it must be lived out. It is important that we stop sitting and listening and reading. We must get up, we must run, and we must act on the knowledge that we have. Another thing I've learned is to fully commit. Okay, personally, I know I'm not the best with commitments. I don't enjoy decision making, and I procrastinate and avoid them if at all possible. But you need to evaluate, and you do need to decide what you want. In running, I want to run to my fullest potential and ability, and in my faith, I truly want to live a life for Christ. But I tend to only part commit, and I realize that the harm that this does me. If I am genuine in wanting to be a great runner and a follower of Christ, I cannot sway back and forth. I cannot rely on how I feel every day to decide what I want. If I do, I'm only going to end up running a couple days a week, and then I'll take a week off, and I would miss out on the full potential I could have. In the same way, in my faith, I cannot just choose to honor God on the days I feel like it and take gaps of time off, half committing like that is not committing at all. Another thing with this commitment is not to hold back a portion of your life. Running has many aspects to his training, sleeping, eating, running, of course, vitamins, stretching. But what happens if you fully commit to most of it but neglect one? Skipping sleeping, for example, might not be harmful right away, but it will eventually affect your racing and performance, and you would miss out on the potential that you could have had. I know that this is true with running, so why do I think that it's okay with my relationship with God? I cannot think that holding back one dimension of my life from him is acceptable. We are called to surrender all to him. If you do not, it might not be evident to you right away, but soon it will affect your faith. We are called to love and obey him in all we do, all our hearts, all our minds, all our strength, all or nothing. Partial lukewarm commitment is meaningless and harmful because it is not opening up everything and giving God the full potential to work in your life. And all of this is hard. Running is hard and our faith is hard. And I know personally, I cannot run alone. I avoid it if at all possible. I need to have someone there with me, especially during the summers when I've taken some time off after a season. It is very hard to push yourself. I need someone for the long runs, the cold days, someone to complain with and to laugh with, someone who understands what all this running stuff is about, someone to cheer me on during that race and to pull me during workouts. I'm just needy like that, and I have realized this is because I am not naturally a strong runner. Even though I've been running for years, I still struggle staying committed in my training. But I have realized that as weak as I am, with my teammates and their support, I do run a lot stronger. In the same way, I am very weak in my faith. Running is hard, and so is my faith, like I said. It's hard for me to run daily and stay true to these goals. In the same way, it's hard for me to pray alone, to always be in Scripture, to grow. Ross talked about the importance of an accountability group and his senior witness, and I have definitely seen and grown in realizing the importance of this. It is good for us to open up our lives and share our faith and our struggles with others. This is just something I'm needy in, and that's okay because God has called us to be a community. And so many of you have been my teammates. You have run with me, you have cheered with me in my life and my actual races. This is something that I just want to say thank you for. Your friendships, whether they were big or small, have been more of an encouragement in my life than you will ever realize. So thank you for running with me during my time at Hope. Another lesson that I've learned with running is do not focus on past or future races, but just focus on your training right now. With running, I am constantly daydreaming, especially during the summers. I have goals that I make, to-do lists, intentions, and hopes that I want to reach by the end of the season. I want to be the best runner I can be so I can whip some Calvin butts and maybe make some girls cry. But I get so caught up in it that I focus on the future instead of right now. I need to be thinking about the training I can do today instead of what's going to happen later. And it's silly because I have no idea what's going to happen between now and the end of the season. Same way, Christ does not want us to focus on the future. If I want to live a life for him, I cannot be busy thinking about what I will do eventually, because that eventually will keep being pushed off. We do not know what tomorrow will bring, only that he is in control of it. So instead, focus on how to honor and obey him right now. If I want to be a great runner later in the season, I have to work at it one work at a time. And it will hopefully lead me there. In the same way, if I want to follow Christ at the end of my life, I need to focus on how I can follow him right now. So don't focus too much on the future, but also don't dwell on the past too much either. You will all have bad races. I know I do, at least. I have bad days and bad races, injuries, poopy seasons. It stinks, but that's how it happens. It's life. Sometimes we learn from it quickly, and sometimes I seem to make the same mistakes in races over and over again. We might strive to be a perfect runner or Christian, but we cannot. We are human, and we are prone to wander from perfection. But what do we do after these periods of time? The next step after a bad race or season is really important, I've realized. Personally, I tend to linger on my mistakes. That race was terrible, and I can't get it off my mind. And I do the same in my life and faith. We have all made mistakes, but God does not want us to sit and dwell on them. He loves us and wants us to know that we don't have time to maintain that. That race is done, that time is over. We need to realize that we can't change it, but we can do something about the present time that we've been given. Instead of focusing on it, we need to realize that God has cleared our bad track record, and we need to stop looking to the past and turn our focus to him. And lastly, and most importantly for me, is don't wait. The promise of Christ is that his grace is sufficient for us, and that we can be made perfect in our weakness so we can turn to him. I often forget this. God does not want me to come to him once I have attempted to fix myself or change, because that's not going to ever happen. I often have to remember the lines from that song we just sung. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. So there's no reason to wait. Do not linger. There's no reason for it. So no matter what running shape that you are in, just focus your attention to Christ. Get off your butt and just run to him, and he will do the rest. Peace. God with us.